You're with us in the morning show. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. Constitutional scholars have offered their testimony on whether President Trump's conduct rises to the level of impeachment. We'll have analysis on the House Judiciary hearings in just a moment. But first, we're feeling that energy of our year-end member drive. I'm here with Michael Arnold. Good morning.
Morning.
I love that. I just feel it. I feel it in the air.
I feel the vibes.
This year-end member drive, think about how much you've learned from and enjoyed WPR programs this year. And with 2020 around the corner, take action and give the programs you rely on a strong start in the new year at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
The news cycle has given you a lot to talk about, and that's why we're asking for your support. It's listener-supported radio. This hour, we have a goal of 10 gifts. These hourly goals are important. They help us stay on track financially so we can keep the discussion going strong on the Ideas Network. So give now at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
You know, public radio has a unique funding model. It is this two-way street that creates a really high-quality product. This is how it works. You voluntarily contribute, and in turn, you get back the programs that are accountable only to you.
It's an amazing system. You get the programs worth listening to because you step up and support them. Make your contribution for independent news, information, and music right now. Help pay for all the programs you enjoy, like The Morning Show on Wisconsin Public Radio at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
And if you've never given to Wisconsin Public Radio before because you don't think you can give enough to make a difference, well, think again. It's gifts from thousands of people combined together that make WPR programs possible.
Every dollar makes a difference. And many first-time donors give, say, $10 or $20 a month for their WPR listening. You decide the amount that works for you and then join this team effort with your gift right now at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
This fall member drive, make a donation of any amount and you'll have five chances to win a Sonos One smart speaker. With hands-free voice control, the possibilities are endless.
I would listen to Beyonce Radio.
I would listen to the Best of Our Knowledge and some of the archives of really cool shows that have aired in the past.
Definitely public radio programming.
Well, Wisconsin Public Radio, of course.
That was a trick question. You're trying to get me fired.
Sustainers, you're automatically entered. Find all the smart speaker giveaway rules and details at WPR.org/drawing. You can't win if you don't enter, so make your gift of any amount right now. Here's how.
Give at WPR.org or 888-202-2552. I'm Kate Archer-Kent here with Michael Arnold, and it's listener support that is the biggest source of funding for the WPR programs you rely on. And that is why your support during this year-end member drive is so very important. Maybe your gift is $10 a month. Maybe it's $100 a month. Whatever amount you choose, that is the right amount.
We know you value your time, and we value your time too. We know you have a lot of things to do this morning. You got to get your hair to stabilize. You got to get dressed.
Your hair
all that
stabilized
stuff. it'll only take a couple minutes to pledge to WPR. It only takes a few minutes. Just tell us your name, contact information, and how much you want to give and how much you'd like to pay.
Super quick, super easy to do. And your gift right now, it really helps. So take the next few minutes to support the station you count on. Another form of stability right here at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
We have a relatively modest goal for this hour, 10 pledges needed in the next 50 minutes or so, and we're looking for you to join in with that. You can get us a fifth of the way there. It's the end of the year. It's a great time to take action on your values. Make your gift now for the WPR programs you rely on year-round at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
And as an added bonus for supporting the programs you love, you'll have five chances to win a Sonos One Smart Speaker.
Yeah.
No contribution is necessary. See WPR.org/drawing for details. And better yet, you're automatically entered when you give any amount at WPR.org or 888-202-2552. And sustainers, thank you so much. Making ongoing monthly gifts, you are automatically entered.
That's right. And if you're not a sustainer at Stainer, you can become one now. Easy to set up a monthly donation from your bank account or credit card at WPR.org or 888-202-2552. You'll provide ongoing support for the programs you love, and you'll also get automatically entered in drawings during our pledge drive. It only takes a couple minutes to make your pledge. So do it now at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
Now it's time to talk about making friends as an adult. When we're busy and tired and distracted and just don't know where to start, we're getting practical advice on making friends as an adult. And at work, it's hard to get beyond superficial chit-chat, but you don't want to overshare. Researchers have found that having a best friend at work can actually increase morale and productivity. Julia Furlan is a host and reporter at NPR who's been exploring adult friendship. Let's go to the phones now. Cindy is joining us from Appleton. Good morning, Cindy.
Hi, Cindy. Good morning. Well, I'm 63 now. I'm still partially working. I'm not full-time working, but part-time working. But I'm having issues because of the fact that I'm at that age group now where I've lost a lot of my friends to cancer and other weird diseases. And, you know, a lot of the friends husbands have retired are now spending more time with the husband, the grandkids, you know, doing their kind of own thing. Some of my friends are just not healthy enough to do things. So I'm kind of in that age group where it's really tough to get to make friends.
Cindy, thank you. Julia, what would you say there?
I really empathize with that situation, Cindy. I think it's really difficult to feel that sort of I found that when I was reporting, a lot of stories about friendship are actually stories about loneliness and sort of overcoming that. I would say that, like, there's this one piece of advice that everybody always says when you say that you want to make new friends, which is to go and do something that you like to do. And I would say that in this situation, it feels like following that instinct, Cindy, to, you know, go hiking or join a cooking class or take some time to do an activity. And the research basically says, like, do it more than once. Do it. You have to sort of dedicate yourself to doing it a couple of times so that you can be a regular sort of at a new place and make friends that way. I would say that, like, I think we should also work to let go of boundaries in terms of friends. Like, just because you're 63 doesn't mean that you can't be friends with somebody who's in their 30s. And in fact, especially my friend and writer, Rachel Wilkerson Miller, wrote a book called The Art of Showing Up, How to Be There for Yourself and Your People. And she recommends that, you know, people sort of let go of the boundaries of people only in your same life stage as your friends. So reaching younger, reaching older, that would be my advice to you, Cindy.
What about at work, Julia? Is work a good place to find a friend?
You know, work is tricky because every workplace is kind of different and you don't know what the culture of the workplace is like. But I do think that at work, people tend to sort of get into these like routines where they're just like, you know, I show up, I make my coffee, I don't really look left or right. I have the same five conversations with the same five people and that's it. I do think that there is a world in which your work life becomes richer if you are able to look at somebody in the elevator or look at somebody over the coffee machine and say, wow, I am really struggling with this particular thing today, you know? And I think that that first step of vulnerability can really open the door. When you are vulnerable, you make it possible for the other person to be vulnerable as well. You open the door so that they can walk in. And it doesn't always work, and you have to be a little bit careful about especially workplace environments. But I think that with some amount of self-awareness and some amount of vulnerability, you can really get somewhere.
Because people spend so much time at work.
I know.
You would think that there is more propensity for them to develop friendships when they're working so closely with people.
Absolutely. And there's like a sort of crushing sadness when you realize, oh, I spend most of my time at this place where I don't feel any connection. I know that my dad worked for 30 years for a company, and I don't know that he still would consider anybody that he worked with that whole time as his friend. And that, you know, that made me really sad when I sort of thought about that. So I don't know. I feel like people should, you know, within the boundaries and, you know, you got to respect whatever workplace culture you come from, but be a little bit more open, a little bit more vulnerable at work, I think.
Can there be apps that help us out here in finding friends? Where does technology come down here?
I mean, I think so. There is Bumble BFF, which is a particular app that is made for friendships. There are a couple of friendship apps. Jillian Sandstrom is one of the researchers that I spoke to, and she is at the University of Essex. We're actually doing a Reddit AMA tomorrow at noon. But she has this theory or this research on weak ties, which basically is like, you know, the person at your coffee shop or like the person in your world who you have like a little bit of an exchange with, that decreases having a good exchange with that person will decrease your loneliness. And Jillian has an app that is, I think it's called Goose Chase, where basically she has like a challenge, like a scavenger hunt style challenge for talking to strangers that I thought was really cool.
That was Julia Furlan there talking about adult friendship, and she is an NPR reporter in New York. Coming up, we have law professor Kim Whaley with us as we break down yesterday's House Judiciary Committee hearing, which spanned over 8 hours featuring 4 law professors. What questions do you have about what happens next? Have you been able to sift through the politics and get to the facts of this impeachment process, this inquiry? Join in 800-642-1234. We'll be back with Kim Whaley right here on the Ideas Network. If you're just joining us, it is The Morning Show. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. 3 out of 4 legal experts testified that President Trump committed impeachable offenses. We will break down yesterday's testimony before the House Judiciary Committee as they are in this next phase of the impeachment inquiry. But first, it is our year-end member drive, and I'm here with Michael Arnold. Good morning.
Yeah!
Whoa!
Oh, sorry. Good morning.
Your support is vital to all the programs on WPR. It is the largest source of funding. So take a few minutes right now to support the programs you count on with your year-end gift at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
Well, here's the sitch. Is that a hip term, situation?
Never mind.
We have about 40 minutes, and we need to get 10 people to join in and support the station. We can do that. We can really do that, but we need your support right now. Thanks if you've already given.
And if you haven't, give right now at WPR.org or 888-202-2552. Your gift funds all the programs you enjoy.
And on the Ideas Network, you hear diverse viewpoints from different guests and callers bring in unique perspective to the conversation, too. You could be part of the conversation on a daily basis because there's so much good food for thought on these programs. You probably find yourself starting conversations with, yesterday on WPR I heard this, or maybe it starts a conversation at work and you create a lifelong friend. Who knows?
Who knows?
Time to take action and support that and make this show happen with your support now at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
Excellent tie-in there, Michael Arnold. The easiest way to make sure that you support WPR is always staying current. So become a sustainer right now. And that means your monthly gift, whether it's $10 a month, whether it's $100 a month, any amount you choose continues month after month, year after year. Get started now. It feels great at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
WPR is a statewide resource, and so are WPR members. Since 2010, you've provided nearly 400,000 meals through food bank gifts. Join together with your fellow WPR members this season to help end hunger in Wisconsin. Ask for one of the food bank gifts with your donation of $10 or $20 a month. Here's how.
go to WPR.org or 888-202-2552 to make your donation. I'm Kate Archer-Kent here with Michael Arnold, and it is your support during this year-end member drive that makes the WPR programs you rely on possible every day. Your gift of $10 or $20 a month, whatever amount you choose, is the right amount.
And we ask that you make a contribution. We also ask that you give at an amount that's comfortable to you. Is Wisconsin Public Radio worth more than like a pack of gum a day? I think so. Mm-hmm. I think so. Many people give, say, $10 a month. Some people give $100 or more a month.
Whatever the amount, we'll use it to support the programs you enjoy, being very good stewards, keeping your source for information and entertainment on WPR going strong day after day. So give now whatever amount feels right for you at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
And you can get the momentum started in this hour by pledging with 9 more people. We just need 10 more pledges in the next, 40 minutes or so. I don't know how many minutes it is.
Do the math.
Basically, it will help us meet our goal. WPR is listener powered. You've probably noticed that WPR is unlike any other radio station you've ever heard, and that's because listeners support the programming you hear every day. So make a pledge now at WPR.org or 888-202-2552. It's really important.
And it's a season of giving, so support the radio you love. Do something extra as well. Choose one of the food bank gifts when you give $10 or $20 a month at WPR.org or 888-202-2552. You'll make a difference for WPR and for those facing hunger in your area.
And if you're a sustaining member, thank you so much. Maybe it's a good day to increase your support of WPR. You've noticed that there's a lot more to talk about these days. There's a pretty heavy news cycle. There are a lot of things going on, and you appreciate the fact that WPR is here to bring you a place to talk about the issues and learn more about the issues. So make a pledge of $5 or $10 a month or whatever amount you choose. You can increase your sustaining membership or become a new sustainer at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
The House Judiciary Committee kicked off its first hearing of the impeachment inquiry Wednesday. This is the 41-member committee that has some of President Trump's staunchest congressional allies, and their task is to explore the constitutional grounds for impeachment, including what constitutes bribery, high crimes, and misdemeanors. So what is your reaction to the hearings? Did you follow them? Did it help you understand the constitutional grounds for impeachment? Join in, 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. Kim Whaley is a law professor at the University of Baltimore. Kim, welcome back to the Ideas Network.
Thank you. Good morning.
So up to this point, the people who've testified in the Intelligence Committee hearings, these were witnesses to the events that took part, between the Trump administration and Ukraine. They were fact witnesses. How were yesterday's hearings in the Judiciary Committee different?
Yesterday's hearings were what we would call expert witnesses. There were 4 law professors that were called to testify as to what is the meaning of high crimes and misdemeanors under the Constitution for purposes of triggering impeachment, first of all, and second of all, whether the facts that were gathered during the Intelligence Committee process, that is the witnesses that we heard from that were part of the story of Ukraine, whether those facts give rise to an impeachable defense under the standards set forth in the Constitution.
And so you might have felt right at home because these were law professors.
Yes, they were law professors. Actually, Jonathan Turley is a colleague of mine.
Yeah.
He's a co-analyst at CBS. Yes, and this is right within my wheelhouse. I was probably a little itching to get on there, on the panel myself, secretly.
So Democrats invited 3 of these professors to speak yesterday, and then Republicans invited 1. And so we saw 3 on the yes to these impeachable offenses, and then 1 on the other side of the fence. Did we learn anything new?
Well, I think to the extent to which regular people don't understand a lot about the Constitution, I hope that people learn some things new, that is to understand why the impeachment clause is in there to begin with, because we hear a lot of things about, impeachment itself is somehow unending or upending an election, things like that. Of course, the framers put it in there interfere with elections while they were in office, they could just keep getting themselves elected, reelected and reelected, that there needs to be some mechanism to stop a president from basically swaying an election in advance of November of the next election cycle. So that's exactly why it's there. And that's the argument why, regardless of what happens to this president, impeachment's a really important lever to pull to ensure that we don't have a monarchy in the White House. We don't have even, worst case, an autocracy in the White House. We have a White House that's accountable to the people, which, because really the people in America are the king, not any individual person. That's the message, essentially, of the three law professors for the Democrats.
And then with the Republicans, they called a witness to testify as well, a law professor expert.
Right.
You know, what contrast did we see there?
Well, Professor Turley's position was that, and I think it's legitimate, that this is a fast inquiry, that there are a lot of witnesses that we haven't heard from. There are documents we haven't seen, we, the American public. The problem with that argument, of course, is that the White House has taken a position through the White House counsel, Pat Cipollone, that the impeachment inquiry is illegitimate and has basically directed anyone who's worked for Donald Trump to not respond to subpoenas. So part of a big reason why we are not hearing from everyone we need to be hear from, and we're not getting the documents we should hear from, we should get, is the White House itself. It's not cooperating with the congressional inquiry. So that's one of his arguments. The second argument he made was that the standard should be the same as for a criminal defendant in court with respect to bribery in particular. The other law professor said, no, actually the standard is what the framers thought in 1789 when the Constitution was finally ratified. So that was the second issue. And then Professor Turley also just had an issue with whether there are enough facts, period, and the president's intent to benefit himself in this exchange versus, I think, the Republican narrative is that somehow he was actually interested as a matter of legitimate foreign policy in making sure that Ukraine was no longer corrupt, and asking Mr. Zelensky to start or announce an investigation into the Bidens.
Well, Kim, thanks for stopping by and giving us an update. We appreciate it.
I'm happy to do so.
Kim Whaley is a law professor at the University of Baltimore. She's the author of the book, How to Read the Constitution and Why. Coming up, quitting smoking leads to better outcomes for patients with cancer, but too few patients receive cessation services during their oncology visits. We'll talk about that. News update is next here on the Ideas Network. You're with us for the morning show. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. Quitting smoking can improve outcomes after radiation, after chemo, after surgery. It can reduce the risk of developing new cancers. We'll look at smoking cessation efforts at the UW. But first, as these days get shorter, our year-end fun drive is bright and blazing. Those are my choice words this morning. I'm here with Michael Arnold. Good morning.
Morning.
You count on WPR for these in-depth discussions, and it's your support that keeps these conversations going strong. Your gift right now makes a big difference, both this year and as we head into 2020, at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
We have about 20 minutes to go. We're making some good progress on our goal. We just need 9 more people to join in. Your gift right now is so important because when you give, you support the programs you rely on every day.
Thank you so much if you've already given. And if you haven't, the time is now. Give at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
In just a few minutes, we're going to talk about smoking cessation programs. I use the pledge drive to get me to stop doing things that are bad for me. So this drive, this
really?
Is the stop eating Snickers bars at work thing.
Okay.
I'm redeploying that money into public radio, and hopefully I will lose some weight. I usually eat about 9 or 10 Snickers bars a day.
Oh,
so
dear.
That's a lot of money.
Oh, dear.
That's a lot
that
of
is.
Money. And that can pay for a lot of conversations on the morning show. So if you want to do that, if you want to use public radio as a way to get a early start on your New Year's resolution. Now's the time to do it. Make a pledge at any level at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
WPR is listener supported, and that means that your donation at WPR.org or 888-202-2552. It makes the many topics that you join us for every day possible. So choose an amount that works for you, then make your gift.
And it really is easy to figure out how much to give. It's easy to spend a dollar or more a day on things that are part of your routine. In my case, I have a pretty heavy investment in Snickers bars. Not everybody does that, but think about, you know, like a cup of coffee or a snack from a vending machine.
Consider the news, the information, the inspiration from Wisconsin and around the world that you get every day from listening to WPR. So maybe a dollar a day, $30 a month is just the right donation for you. Sign up right now at WPR.org or 888-202-2552 and support the programs you enjoy every day.
I'm Bill from Wausau, Wisconsin, and I enjoy being a WPR sustainer, and I think you will too. I think it's important because things are said and done on the radio that are important, that need to be said, that we don't get on any other radio station. I listen to it all the time. It's on the car, it's on the radio in the morning when we get up, and it's on all day practically, and it's just the way we live. I know that the money is going to be well used. It's a valuable service, and I just feel good about it.
Go to WPR.org or 888-202-2552 to make your donation in support of the programs you count on. I'm Kate Archer-Kent here with Michael Arnold. Your support today of Wisconsin Public Radio keeps all the programs you enjoy going strong. And whether your contribution is $10 a month, whether it's $100 a month, we appreciate and we count on your gift.
And that's because listener support's the single largest source of funding for this programming on WPR. So now's the time. Give right now while you're thinking about it. It just takes a few minutes to contribute.
You'll have that really good feeling of supporting the programs you love. See what that's like right now. Get that good vibe at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
Lots of people supporting Wisconsin Public Radio during this drive. Join your friends and neighbors now and support the station. We just have 9 pledges to go in the next 20 minutes. We can do that, but we need you to make that contribution now. Start the tradition of giving by making a pledge at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
And as an added bonus for supporting the programs you love, you'll have 5 chances to win that Sonos One Smart Speaker. Give now at WPR.org or 888-202-2552. And by the way, sustainers, those of you making ongoing monthly gifts, thank you so much, and you're automatically entered.
And if you're not a sustainer, you can become one right now. It's really easy to set up. It's a monthly donation from your bank account or credit card at WPR.org or 888-202-2552. You'll provide ongoing support for the programs you love. You'll also get automatically entered in any drawings that we have during our member drives.
Your gift is powerful. It makes a difference. Thank you so much. Go to WPR.org or 888-202-2552. And thanks. A cancer diagnosis comes with many decisions. And the UW Carbone Cancer Center wants to help cancer patients who use tobacco to add one more consequential decision to their list, and that is quitting smoking. We're looking at smoking cessation programs and outcomes. Are you a smoker? Do you want to quit? How have you tried to stop through a structured program? How did it go? Join in 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. Heather D'Angelo is an assistant scientist at UW Carbone Cancer Center studying the social determinants of health and cancer-related health inequities. Heather, welcome to the Ideas Network.
Thank you, Kate. Thanks for having me.
So the National Cancer Institute really wants to help cancer centers around the country to be way more proactive about getting patients to stop smoking, especially during their oncology treatments. What inroads are you seeing there? What's happening?
Sure. So I work as part of the an NCI initiative called the Cancer Center Cessation Initiative, which is funded by the NCI Cancer Moonshot to implement sustainable tobacco treatment programs for patients coming through NCI cancer centers. And really what they want to address is that there's a gap in care where we know that 30% of cancers are caused by smoking. And as you mentioned before, that quitting can, after your diagnosis, can lead to much better outcomes. But there's not enough being done in our cancer care settings to actually connect people with the evidence-based treatment that they need. So as part of our initiative, the cancer centers around the country are working to integrate smoking cessation treatment programs into the care that patients get when they're seen at a cancer center.
And you're like the data monger here. I mean, you're really into the data, deep into it. So what are you collecting from cancer centers on smoking among cancer patients, and what are you doing with that?
So we are, the goal of the C3I is that the cancer centers will use their funding to do three main things. So we want them to ask everybody who comes through the door of the cancer center to ask them about their smoking, to advise them if they use tobacco to quit, and to refer them to a smoking cessation treatment program, ideally using the electronic health record to send automatic referrals to trained tobacco treatment specialists who can then follow up with the patient. So as part of our data collection, we're trying to assess each of those things. So we're looking at what percentage of patients are getting asked if they use tobacco or if they smoke. Among those, what percentage are being reached by a tobacco treatment program, so like how many actually get connected to a service. And then we're looking at outcomes. So 6 months after somebody received treatment, are they still smoking? So that's the kind of data that we're collecting.
What are you seeing? What trend lines are you seeing? How many patients are getting asked?
So the screening rates are really high. It's really promising. So I would say most of the centers are at 95% and above. And that's really great. So people are getting asked. In terms of referrals, we're looking at maybe the data is still coming in, so I don't want to say anything specifically, but on average, about 25% of smokers are getting connected to some type of treatment. But
wait, that's a really big drop there. You know, what's happening between, you know, everyone is being asked, and then what about the follow through?
Well, that's the percentage of all patients who are being asked. So not all of those people are smokers.
I see.
So the smoking rates among the cancer patients in our cohort of, at least the first cohort of centers, which is about 20 cancer centers, range from about 4% of patients to about up to maybe 20% of patients coming through are actually smokers.
You're also looking at patient demographics, things like gender and race, ethnicity, age, insurance status. How can that information inform cancer centers in providing treatment?
Yeah, so I think this is a really important part of our data collection and looking at who is receiving the treatment. So by looking at things like gender and race, ethnicity, insurance status, we can make sure that everyone who smokes or uses tobacco is being reached by those tobacco treatment services equally.
What are the particular challenges for cancer patients who are attempting a smoking cessation program?
So I think, you know, the challenges are they have the same challenges as anyone else for quitting smoking, but then they have the added, they may have the added sort of time restraints in terms of having to attend to a lot of appointments, or they may live far from the cancer center. A lot of people travel to the cancer center for their treatment, but don't necessarily live nearby. So there's those kinds of restraints. And so the cancer centers in our program are really trying to help, you know, help those patients that have those barriers of transportation or time by using telehealth or telephone-based counseling in order to still deliver treatment to those patients but reduce the burden on them.
And I can imagine just the stress of that diagnosis and that emotional journey of cancer can also really impact the ability of someone to quit a habit like smoking.
Sure. And that's why it's so important for physicians or oncologists to, if they haven't had specific training in tobacco treatment, which a lot of them haven't, and they may not feel, you know, they have time to deliver that kind of counseling during the visit, that they refer out to train tobacco treatment specialists. And there are even counselors that are trained specifically to address the needs of people with cancer who are trying to quit smoking.
We're talking with Heather D'Angelo. She is an assistant scientist at UW Carbone Cancer Center studying the social determinants of health. And you can join in. Have you ever visited the doctor's office for a cancer screening or another reason? Did they ask you about your smoking habits? Are you going through a cancer diagnosis right now and trying to quit smoking? What is that like? Join in 800-642-1234. Heather, research also shows that people who want to quit smoking have the most success if they participate in a really highly intensive structured treatment program. What does that look like?
So effective tobacco treatment programs typically include counseling plus pharmacotherapy or medications to help you quit smoking. Usually programs will have patients come in for one initial in-person visit, a counseling session, and then if the patient wants to continue, then they would have the option to come in for in-person treatment or maybe continue those sessions over the phone.
How do you measure the success of a cessation treatment program and follow those outcomes?
Sure. At the program level, we're looking at reach, which I mentioned before, which is are they reaching all the patients who smoke with some sort of evidence-based treatment, even if it's a referral to the quit line or to a smoke-free text program, are all patients getting something? and then we're also looking at the effectiveness of those programs, which is 6 months after they've referred the patient to treatment or after the patient received cessation treatment counseling, are they still smoking?
The National Cancer Institute that started this program in 2017, the Cancer Center Cessation Initiative, what is the future like for this program? Will UW-Carbone Cancer Center continue to take the lead on this? Is there more information gathering? What's the trajectory mm-hmm. here?
So the funding for the second cohort ends next year. So we meet every 6 months, and both cohorts of all 42 cancer centers are going to be attending. And we're really hoping to continue the momentum of this initiative by keeping the researchers and the clinicians who are working on these projects together to make it easier for them to collaborate with each other so that we can make sure we keep these programs going over time. Because that's really the goal, is to build programs that can be integrated into care and then sustained over time so that they can then be sort of running themselves.
And this morning we're reaching you at the Conference on the Science of Dissemination and Implementation in Health. And you're presenting. Can you tell us what you're presenting?
So sure, I have a poster presentation of some of our research. So we developed an evaluation model for cancer centers or clinical oncology settings to use to evaluate the things that I mentioned before, like the reach and effectiveness of their tobacco treatment programs. So I'm presenting some case studies related to how can we apply this model. It's called REAIM, so it looks at the reach, the effectiveness, how the program has been adopted and implemented and then maintained over time. So we really want to make this initiative, what comes out of this initiative, we want to learn from what the cancer centers have done and be able to disseminate that out to other clinical oncology settings so that they can take what we've learned and implement their own programs.
Heather, thank you for joining us.
Mm-hmm. Great, thank you.
Heather D'Angelo is an assistant scientist at UW-Carbone Cancer Center. She's studying the social determinants of health and focusing on how policies and built environments and social contexts contribute to cancer-related health inequities. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. This is The Morning Show. You're with us on the Ideas Network. You're with us on The Morning Show. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. And just like that, it's the end of the year. And that is, it is also the year-end member drive here at Wisconsin Public Radio. I'm here with Michael Arnold. Good morning.
Good morning.
Your financial support is the foundation for all these great discussions you enjoy every day here on the Ideas Network. So make your tax-deductible year-end gift now for 2019 at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
Now, we are broadcast professionals, so we were keeping this from you. At one point during this hour, we thought, are we going to make this goal? I don't know if we can do it. But actually, I think we're going to make this goal. We have three pledges that we need. We need to hear from three people. So that's you. You can get us a third of the way there in the next, I don't know, 5 minutes or so.
Mm-hmm.
We can do that.
Totally.
We can
totally
do that.
Doable.
I know you got things to do. But now is the time to make your pledge because you're going to help us meet this goal. These hourly goals are set up to make sure we have the funding for the programs you enjoy. So make your donation now at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
One of the things I love and adore about The Morning Show is that we get to talk with scientists from all over the country and the world and right here at home at the UW, like talking about cancer and cessation programs at the UW-Carbone Cancer Center. It's so fascinating to, you know, go into their worlds and find out about what they do with this data and how it impacts outcomes. If these are the kinds of conversations you count on from The Morning Show.
That's right. And WPR is listener-supported, which is why we can have those conversations. You may notice that there may be other places that aren't talking about things like that. We're able to do that because of your support. So your donation at WPR.org or 888-202-2552 makes the many topics you tune in for every day possible. So choose an amount that works for you and make your gift. You'll get us to that goal for this hour. Just three away, you can help us get there.
And it is the season of giving. You can do two good things when you give to Wisconsin Public Radio right now. Your donation will support the programs you rely on. And you can ask for one of the food bank gifts. Those are options available at $10 or $20 a month or one-time gifts of $120 or $240.
And these thank you gifts provide meals for those facing hunger in your area through regional food banks. And it all starts with your gift. You'll be supporting your neighbors who are dealing with food issues, but also you'll be supporting Wisconsin Public Radio at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
December is a special time of year. We asked a few people, what are your year-end traditions?
One of my favorite December traditions is making Christmas cookies with my mom.
Our family tradition in December is the whole family goes bowling. And it's a weird tradition because none of us really bowl.
Well, every year, my friends and I like to indulge in one really cheesy Christmas Lifetime movie.
Make giving to Wisconsin Public Radio one of your year-end traditions. In return, you'll get programs that make you think, laugh, and start conversations all year long. Here's how.
Give at WPR.org or 888-202-2552. I'm Kate Archer-Kent here with Mike Arnold. It is listener support that is the biggest source of funding for all the WPR programs you rely on. And that is why your support during this year-end member drive is so important. Maybe your gift is $10 a month. Maybe it's $100 a month. Maybe it's another amount. Whatever amount you choose, that is the right amount.
And we have just a few minutes left in this hour. We're looking for just three more people to join in. This is highly doable. You can get us there by making your pledge right now. Thank you if you've already given.
And if you haven't, give right now, this very moment, WPR.org or 888-202-2552. Your gift funds the programs you enjoy.
On Wisconsin Public Radio, you get programs that inform and inspire you, programs that entertain you and engage you any time of the day or night.
And what makes it all possible? You do. People who contribute make WPR happen.
That's right. So your gift of $100 $5 or $10 a month or whatever you choose makes a huge difference at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
And so Mike Arnold here keeps hitting the refresh button, and I'm just telling you for transparency's sake, okay, so it hasn't moved. We still need three more pledges here. We can get those in WPR.org or 888-202-2552. It's so important.
It only takes a few minutes to make the pledge. You can do it. You've been meaning to do it. Now's the time to go to the phone and make the call. The people are friendly. You can talk to a friendly person first thing in the
friendly
day.
Friendly is good.
888-202-2552. Or if you don't like to talk to people, you could go online and pledge at WPR.org. No matter how you do it, we will really appreciate it, and you will too, because you'll be paying for great conversations on the Ideas Network.
Thanks so much for your support.